This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Oh, we've got a fight. Thornton and Rebbe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators.
All right, we're here to cheer you up. Tough weekend for Buffalo sports fans. We get it. Sabres handed a couple losses. Wanted to see those go the other way. Saw on Twitter a lot of people rooting for the Pats to lose. That didn't happen. Tough Monday morning, but we're here. And the happiest guy I've ever met on Monday of all days is Craig Rebbe.
Good morning.
Oh. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. I can hear myself. Oh, there we are.
There we go. Now we're back.
Now you're loud connection. Morning, buddy. Happy Monday. Tough weekend, as I mentioned.
Yeah, it was.
Did you watch any football?
I did watch a little football. Yes, I did. And, you know, nice to see, old Tom Brady continue his.
Are you trying to just ruffle people's feathers right off the bat here with nice to see Tom Brady? Are you serious when you say nice to see Tom Brady? Like, the Sabres are now in wild card number 3. So hockey's a sensitive subject. You're not going to go and pour salt in an open wound right now by bringing up the happiness and joy that you have to see Tom Brady win yesterday. Because everybody in Saberland and Bills land were hoping for that
loss. I look at it very differently than most people here in Buffalo have been diehard Bills fans for generations. Myself, I came here 10 years ago. Not a huge football guy, but love to watch it, started to understand it a little bit more. And for me, it's kind of like Tom Brady in my time of really kind of dialing into football is he's just been the pinnacle of the National Football League. And I know there's some obviously hurt feelings because he's just been so good. But I mean, that's why you have to respect that man as much as you. It's very easy to hate him. You have to respect what he's done throughout his career. And he's just, I mean, he's 41 years old. He just seems like he's still, I know he's had an off season this year, but still seems like he's at the top of his game. So, I enjoy watching him. I don't want to see New England win another championship. I don't want to see that, but I enjoy watching him play.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it's safe to say, I think people either way, they get to watch. If they're watching the game hoping he loses, they still get to see, as much as you want to hate him, probably one of the greatest football players that maybe ever played or quarterback.
No question.
I don't know. I'm not educated enough on the matter to be able to say whether he is or isn't. But all I can tell you is that, ever since I moved here, I think I saw Tom Brady play his first game against the Bills ever back in, I don't know, I came with Doug Janik, who's actually going into the Rochester Americans Hall of Fame. Dr. Cappuccino gave me some tickets to bring some of the boys down. My dad came. Doug Janik came. A couple of the other guys came with me, Norm Milley maybe. But we came down to watch the Patriots play because Janik was a huge Patriots fan because he's from the Massachusetts area. And I think the Bills won 12-6, and it was all field goals. It was a freezing cold day. I think that was Brady's first year because Bledsoe got hurt, and Janik was pumped to see Brady play. So anyway, there's that. Janik's going into the Rochester Americans Hall of Fame, so we'll keep you posted on that. But as I mentioned to you, Instigators, Andrew and Craig, WGR 550 and MSG, we're available on Twitter. I'm at the Instigator 76. He's at Craig Rebbe 52. Here to answer all your questions. As I mentioned, we got to do a bit of a Sabres recap over the weekend. A couple losses. Interesting game. Weird goals against Carolina. Skinner's return. Nice goal for Skinner. Very nice tribute, if I may say so, to Jeff Skinner. Did you watch that at all? Did you catch the tribute? Did you see?
I didn't see the tribute, no.
Okay, so I saw the tribute and I caught, I was on the Carolina feed, so I'm watching the game and they had the camera on him while the tribute was going on. And he seems like a very humble guy. I was wondering,
not wanting the attention.
He didn't want to watch it. He didn't want to look up. He took a few peeks and, the guys were razzing him a bit. And, he just seemed kind of, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but maybe a bit uncomfortable with it all, with being in the spotlight. I think it was probably emotional enough for him as it was, you know, answering all the questions beforehand. I heard he was reavailable to the media going into the game just before the game after they arrived or something like that. I read on Twitter, but just an emotional night and a nice tribute. So I just had higher expectations for his return. I wanted a win for him because then we didn't have to see that bowling act that Justin Williams put on for us, which I got to say.
What? don't go there. Don't say it.
Will it kill you if I tell you that I thought it was kind of clever? I thought it was kind of clever. They got into a V, and then your boy Michael Ferland didn't know if he wanted to go down. But I hated that it was against the Sabres, right? Like, that was kind of the whole point I was saying going into the game. Like, don't let him do this. But anyway, that's the Carolina game in a wrap for me. I thought Ferland scored a beauty. Can't teach that. Hey, double bouncer off the top of the net, off the back of the goalie, and in the pipes.
I mean, what was the other one? What was the other one that
there's another fluky goal that went into?
I think it was McCabe. Puck got centered. It went off the tip of his stick, poked it between, Hutton's. You know, I mean, two goals that were scored were, you know, I mean, just complete flukes. But
Jack's return. Tage didn't last long in the top line. They went right to Reinhardt, you know, pretty quickly.
Disappointing.
You think,
as far as I'm concerned, it's disappointing. You know, like, I mean,
he was my key to the game was Tage Thompson.
I've been saying this. I don't know, and I'll continue to say it. But you know, I mean, right now you have one line that basically scores goals, and you know, it's been like that for a large part of the year. Now, granted, there has been a few players kind of step up and score some secondary scoring, which has been nice. You know, Kalaposo and, you know, Scandella.
That was a big goal. But
was a huge goal, but it lasted for what, one shift or two shifts? I mean, I thought they actually played, I think, very well against Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay is just a complete monster right now. This is a finely tuned machine that is only thinking one thing, and that's to win the Stanley Cup. There's no success in this season unless a Stanley Cup. That's what they are built for, and they've got all of the ingredients. They have the elite star-studded talent. You look at Kucherov play, Steve Stamkos ripping that pull and drag top shelf. I mean, they're loaded, absolutely loaded. Braden Point, how much money is this kid going to get? Please tell me. I want to know how they can fit all of this in one lineup.
Well, isn't that why you say it's Stanley Cup or bust? Because, like, they might have some tough decisions coming up. Are they?
You know, you look at Johnson. Johnson's making $5 million bucks. You know, Point right now is on pace for over 100 points. I mean, he is just an absolute stud ball. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what some of these teams do moving forward into the future, because I just don't see how a lot of these teams can continue to have elite talent on their roster. Eventually, they're going to have to pay the younger players, guys like Braden Point. And I'll tell you, he is going to garner a lot of money.
You bring up elite talent. Sabres, a couple losses over the weekend. You know, now in wild card number 3, Point out of a playoff spot. Now the race begins, right? Now it starts to be very interesting, and I said that to you this morning, and you said, interesting, it's been interesting for 2 weeks, and now I ask the question, you know, are we starting to get a little nervous, and not just because of, you know, the Sabres dip in play, but the teams around them playing well. That's the kicker, too. Like, you need these teams to be losing. You have the Islanders killing Tampa Bay yesterday, the Hurricanes.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Hurricanes beat Nashville. I mean, it's like, like, the Hurricanes could have beaten Tampa Bay the other night, too, on Thursday night. That was the talk of the broadcast, was, you know, how well they played against Tampa. Disappointing loss. It was a tight game. They threw everything they had at them, you know, and then they came out and played the Sabres. But, I mean, it's just,
yeah, there's,
you know, like, Tampa Bay's been streaking big time. Big time. They have another guy, a young kid, that's going to make just a ton of cake, and that's Aho. He has 51 points already, this kid. He's an RFA at the end of the year.
He is going to make an extreme amount of money. And the reason why he's going to make so much money is they can't score. They don't have a lot of scoring in Carolina. One of the lower and teams with goals for. That's one thing they're actually looking for right now, to go out, and they've been looking around to see if they can bolster that offense in Carolina. But I mean, you know, I've been scoreboard watching since game 10. It's just what you do. You always look at teams that are around the Sabres, and you want the teams that are below them to continue to lose. And it gives, obviously, the opportunity for the Sabres to, even if they don't win, they have an opportunity to stay in the race. And they're very much in the race. The Sabres are very much in the race. But
aren't they? Let me,
they're also
they're
in
right
it,
where we expected them to be. Sorry to... I'm not trying to chop your point.
Expected? I think that if we're starting the season, okay, and we were to say to the fan base, to everybody, that, listen, you're going to be 1 point out after 45 games. Would you guys be okay with that? And the fan base would say, oh, absolutely. That's exactly what we want. So we're currently at that right now. We're not playing our best hockey. That is for sure. And there's other teams that we're keeping an eye on. The Islanders, Carolina, even Montreal, they're continuing to stay sharp. The Islanders right now have played very, very good hockey in the last couple weeks, and they've put themselves into a nice position in the standings. That's the reality of it. You know, they're 8-2 in the last 10 games. They're soaring forward, where the Buffalo Sabres are starting to flounder a bit, and we're 3-6-1. I mean, the hardest part is not necessarily the first part of the season. The second part is more of a grind. Things get tougher. Less goals are going to be scored because teams, they're starting to play playoff hockey. They're starting to move towards getting ready for playoff hockey.
That was going to be my next point too, that you brought up. You said Sabres aren't playing their best hockey, and granted, we have seen them play a lot better, but aren't we getting some of the other teams' best too? I mean, maybe not New Jersey's that night, but I feel like we're getting the best of Carolina. I think we saw, I don't know if we saw Tampa's best, but I mean, they brought it. You know, you put up a fight against Boston. You know, you had to grind against Florida, and yeah, I'm going back in the schedule, but you know, I mean, it's not, you know, the Islanders.
We got Tampa's best? I think we got a snooze fest for the first little while, and then they basically turned it up, and we didn't touch the puck after that.
I can't argue.
Well, right? They're loaded. Like, their third line is outstanding. Their third line has you know, a player in TJ Miller that you know, he's making
other way around.
Yeah,
so you got it. JT Miller.
You know, he's making what, $5.5 million, $5.75 million. You got
Callahan down there. He's making five. Scored a big.
He's
goal.
Making almost six.
No, I guess it's
and he's on
six,
and he's so. On the fourth. He's on the fourth line. I mean, I don't know how they're fitting all this in there. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you look at their lineup. But this lineup's going to change drastically next year when they have to go out and they have to sign, you know, these young players. Like, Sergachev on defense is going to be up for contract very soon, and there's not going to be the money there to sign all these guys. It's going to be very interesting. So you look at Tampa Bay. And what we saw the other night, I mean, this is an elite lineup. You have Nikita Kucherov, who just signed his new deal, and he's starting next year.
Sabres in Edmonton tonight, in case you weren't aware. 8:30 pregame show on MSG. You can catch the game on MSG and on WGR 550. So Sabres slide out of a playoff spot. They're out of a wild card spot. They're wild card number 3, and they're heading into Edmonton. Then they go to Calgary, and then they have Vancouver. And I don't want to go too far ahead, but I said it earlier. I said this is the gauntlet of games right here heading into the All-Star break. You have a little bit of break after this, but it's not going to be 3 easy games. I mean, do we even know what Edmonton is? I mean, are they if you go look at the Western Conference, and we'll get to the standings a little later in the show, but if you go look at the Western Conference, this is a team that Edmonton has to win. This is a game that Buffalo has to win. You have Connor McDavid.
You know what Edmonton
Connor
is?
McDavid was sick yesterday. What?
You know what Edmonton is?
I have no idea.
They're the Buffalo Sabres of the West. They have a star-studded player on their team in Connor McDavid, like we have Jack. And they have a Leon Draisaitl that's had a fantastic season up to this point. And, you know, we have a Jeff Skinner, and they have a Nugent Hopkins, where we have a Sam Reinhart. And after that, there is a massive disconnect between all the other players. And that's the reality of it. I mean, they have some nice defensemen with Darnell Nurse and Klefbom, but, you know, they're just not deep. They have some younger players in their lineup. They have some players in their lineup that they're paying a lot of money to in Edmonton that are not producing at what they're supposed to be.
You think this is their most winnable game on this trip?
No question.
Edmonton? Well,
I don't know.
I don't know what Vancouver is, and I mean, who knows what you're going to get with the Vancouver Canucks? But I feel like you're running into a tough game in Calgary, and I don't, you know, like, I mean, we talked before. What do you need in Calgary? What do you need to do when
they've
this
been
trip
absolutely
out of games,
kicking
points?
The snot out of everybody?
Yeah, they
and
have.
I'm not talking 3-1 or they're
Arizona,
winning 7-8 goals. What was their last game?
7-1.
I mean, they've been doing that. They have what, 4 guys or 5 guys that are over 55 points? That's more than Jack. Everybody's saying how great a season Jack's having. He's got what, 49 points right now in 42 games. Well, they have 4 players on their team that are over 50, 55.
Yeah.
Have this Calgary team is for real, and they are deep, and their defense core is very strong, and they're getting some great goaltending right now. If you're looking to be scared and aware, this is the team that you want to be nervous of. Johnny Gaudreau's got 69 points right now. Sean Monahan, 57. Matthew Tkachuk, 54.
Sounds like you're
53.
Writing this one off. Right, they better win tonight.
Listen, how many points does Jack have? Mark Giordano has 47. He's 2 points behind Jack. Calgary is an absolute beast in the West right now. They're an absolute beast.
So Jack has 49. I was going to say 48.
He has 49.
49.
And their defenseman, their fifth in scoring, has 47 points. That's how you know how good this team is.
Yeah, he's leading the league in plus minus two, I think.
So let's not fast forward
too far into that game. I mean, we know how you're going to be feeling on Wednesday, I guess. But, you know, you have the Oilers tonight. By the way, Coach Trevor Large from Canisius College is going to join us here in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and talk college hockey locally. They had North Dakota in town and, you know, actually laid a whooping on our boy Dane Jackson, former teammate of mine, assistant coach. Yeah, so they had one of the big-time schools, hasn't been in here in a long time, and they were 26-0 heading into Atlantic Hockey, and Canisius taught them a lesson, fed them their lunch. So small trade alert, I guess, is what I'm being we got a little trade talk here. Verified account. You have Dallas Stars acquire Andrew Cogliano for Devin Shore from the Anaheim Ducks. So, Andrew Cogliano, that's an interesting deal.
Say that again, my brother.
So, Dallas Stars acquire.
Dallas Stars. Yep.
So Dallas Stars pick up Andrew Cogliano from the Anaheim Ducks for forward Devin Shore. Devin Shore.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, you're just swapping out somewhat the same type of player. Both teams are kind of like in a little bit of shambles. I mean, right now, Anaheim Ducks are struggling immensely. They are just struggling, but they're
straight.
They're 0-6-4 in their last 10 games. That is 0-6-4. That is, they've been going through some tough times. It's been like this for quite a while with them. They're minus 28 in goal differential. Anaheim is, they've struggled big time. But that being said, they're tied in points for the last wild card spot with 47.
Well, that's what I mean.
They were leading the division.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. But that's how tight the West is, though. I mean, you can lose 10 games and you're literally still in it. Forget about where they were. I mean, you go all the way down. We're going to do standings talk a little bit later, too. But like St. Louis, that draft pick that you're dreaming over,
yes,
they're still right in it as well. the Oilers are right there, and that brings us back to the game tonight.
Well, you're saying that the St. Louis Blues are still in it, which they are. They're 5 points out of a playoff spot, but they're closer to the bottom of the National Hockey League because they're only 3 points behind the bottom.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Pacific set. The Pacific Division is set, 1, 2, and 3, boom. Just like the Atlantic Division where the Sabres are. It's set, Tampa, Toronto,
no question.
Boston. Like, you know, and then you have the other division. They're very, very tight. It's very tight over there on the other side. You have Colorado, Minnesota. Like, they're all sitting within 1 or 2 points.
Well, the Pacific Division with Calgary, San Jose, and Vegas holding those 1, 2, and 3, they're set. That, I mean, they are loaded. I mean, the Golden Knights have 60 points.
Well, are they loaded? Or are they just...
No one's taken over those three spots. They're pretty much set. So, I mean, this is going to be an extremely interesting... Like, you look at the Arizona Coyotes. They're only 4 points out. They're only 4 points out. They are still looking and feel very much like they can be part of this playoff race. I mean, you have the St. Louis Blues.
Like, it's a dogfight on both sides.
They have games in hand on everybody ahead of them. So all they need to do is win 2-3 to those games, and now you're adding 4 or 5 points. They're in a playoff spot if they win their next three games. I mean, this is how tight the West is. The West is insanely tight. The East is
without question, you say Arizona's, you know, not out of it. I mean, I don't know, but the Los Angeles is out of it. But then after that, I think it's literally a 9 to 10 team.
Blackhawks, I believe, are out. They've played 47 games. They're only 6 points out, but they've played 3 more games than the Wild in the last wild card. The reason why I say the Blues are a factor at 42 points. And they're only 5 points out is because they haven't games in hand. If they can capitalize on those games in hand, they're going to put themselves right in the wild card race. And it's going to be, so you have the Avalanche, you have the Wild, the Ducks, the Canucks, the Oilers, the Coyotes, and the Blues basically are all vying for 2 spots. It's going to be a very tough race because there's a lot of hockey to be played. A lot of these teams still have 35 plus games left in their season. When you flip over to the Eastern Conference, it becomes a little bit different. I think it's a 4-team race. I think that, for an example, you have the Islanders and the Montreal Canadiens currently sitting in the wild card spot. They have 54 and 53 points. The Buffalo Sabres are sitting at 52 and Carolina's at 49.
Sabres need to win tonight and they need Boston to beat Montreal. Like,
no
that, like,
question.
Like, I mean,
that's what you need. That's when we talk about scoreboard watching, right?
Like, it's going to be a flip flop. There'll be a lot of teams here. Like, I shouldn't say a lot of teams, but there'll be movement regularly. I mean, like, if that happens, Sabres go up, you know, like Carolina. I mean, I think you'll see them in a wild card 1 or 2 spot in the next week or so, just based on how, you know, the finishing, you know, run of the season's going to go here with you said the schedule. Look at
know how we like to do our 5-game segments. So you have the Islanders, Canadiens, Sabres, and Hurricanes. I believe that those are the 4 teams that are going to be fighting for the last 2 spots.
You're cutting out the Rangers and Panthers.
I'm cutting out the Rangers and the Panthers. I just don't think that they have enough right now. You look at, for an example, the Canadiens that are holding the last wild card spot are 11 points ahead of the Panthers. You know, so let's just per se count them out. But when you look at Carolina, Montreal, the Islanders, and Buffalo, the next 5 games, the Buffalo Sabres have the hardest 5-game schedule. So, I mean, Carolina plays the Rangers, Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver.
Right, but on the Sabres schedule, they as we know, they have the Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver this trip. They have the break. They have a long break, and then coming back on the other side of the break, they have a back-to-back. It's Columbus, Dallas? Columbus and at Dallas.
I mean, that's not an easy schedule. Certainly when you're coming back from the break and on top of that, traveling to Columbus and a back-to-back to Dallas, I mean, the next 5 games for the Sabres are going to be not only, and I'm not talking about because they're on the road. I'm talking about the difficulty of schedule. The players that the Sabres play over Carolina, Montreal, and the Islanders, the Sabres have the hardest schedule. And on top of that, they're on the road. It's going to be a tough go. I mean, these next five games are extremely, extremely important because there's going to be teams that are going to start to pull away, and there's going to be teams that are going to start to drop a little bit. And the Sabres just need to continue, because I'll tell you right now, when the Sabres play well and they play to their strengths, this is a tough team to beat. They can compete against anybody in the National Hockey League. But right now, it is about wins. It's about trying to find ways to pick up points. And it's been tough for the Sabres the last little while. But
just see the asking price for your boy Furland.
I didn't, but I like this kid. I like this kid. He's a big, fast left winger that can put the puck in the net, and he's got a little bit of nasty and grit to him, which certainly would be a nice addition.
He got in a fight with Austin Watson yesterday, had two assists. He had a goal and I think a goal and assist. First start of the game.
He has a goal and assist against us. The next
His goal was a beauty. I mean, like, that's
They don't look at the end of the season.
You're trying to
say
they don't ask how, they ask how many. Well, you're right, but I am going to tell you how, because I saw it.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like he couldn't do that again if he tried, but you know what? Danny Pyé scored 20 one year, and I'm going to tell you, probably 14 of them were from below the goal line. On the team, but he was like, he could score from any. He's living in town, too. I hope he's listening to this. That season made him. It was like the luckiest bounces you'll ever see, like back of heels. So Sabres tonight, 9 o'clock puck drop, 8:30 pregame show, Sabres game night with Marty and Duffer, and you can catch the game on WGR 550 and MSG. Coming up next, Trevor Large, head coach of the Canisius College Golden Griffins, is going to join us in studio here. We'll talk about local college hockey Division I and a successful weekend against the top-ranked North Dakota. A lot more hockey talk coming up here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, 2019 NCAA Men's Frozen Four is coming to KeyBank Center. I have no idea why this is happening right now on my computer. I'm sorry. It's coming to KeyBank Center April 11th and 13th. Top college teams in the country compete for a national championship. So get your tickets now at ncaa.com/Frozen Four. If you're watching on TV, you can see the trophy right there. It's been here a couple times. I know that trophy, I think, says, let's say 29, that says 19, so that's not the one. But when was the last time it was here? Welcome in Coach Trevor Large from Canisius College, Canadian boy, Brampton, Ontario. Absolutely. We were checking out your stats here when you were a young buck.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Allow myself to pat yourself on the back over here. 89 points in 49 games in the Metro. It was the Ontario Provincial Junior Hockey League back then. I played in that league.
So what is that? What league is that? Is that
that's now the OJ?
It's where the OG. Junior Sabres.
Yeah, okay, OJ. So that's like a junior
tier two junior A.
Tier two junior
yep.
A.
It's okay. Good. Rives. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and because then you went on to play Ferris State. I'm asking that because I played Junior B, and I'm a couple years older than you are, but just trying to figure out, like, that's a Tier 2 Junior A league, yeah, right?
If you played Tier 2 Junior A, you referred to Junior B as Jungle B.
Jungle, what does that mean?
It was just like...
Not good?
It was just... Well, we're just kidding, right? It's like, you know...
I remember the association between Tier 2 Junior A and Junior B. I was told that the Tier 2 Junior A was a much tougher league.
Really? I was under the impression Junior B was the tougher league. They're the better
tough.
Players were
both
playing
tough.
Tier two.
Both
just
tough
saying,
tough
hey Trevor,
a lot of
hey Trevor, best
then,
players. Yeah. You had some tough guys on your team back in the day. Brampton was always tough. Like,
and I needed them. It was great to have guys around me. You know, guys. I think about Brandon Daw was a good friend of mine. He was actually my best man at my wedding. He was on my wing and
keep those tough guys close. That's a smart guy.
I needed him. I needed him for sure.
So how's it going? I mean, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Congratulations on a big weekend against North Dakota. I mean, that's huge, right? I mean, like, you guys must have been pretty psyched up when they rolled into town. I mean, was the first time they'd been here in how many years? Ever? It was ever.
First time they traveled to our league. So it was great to get a team like North Dakota to come to an Atlantic Hockey team on the road. We were ecstatic that that we were able to get him on the schedule in Buffalo at the Harbor Center. I think all the things that are happening downtown is definitely a piece of getting them here. And then, obviously, to send him home with 0 points
so,
was great.
Did they just come here thinking that they were going to mop you guys up? Because I'll tell you right now, that is amazing. This is a highly ranked team, and you have two wins, like two huge wins against that that program. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I can't pretend to think, or I definitely don't know what they were talking about. I think whenever a top-ranked team is playing somebody that isn't, you know, maybe they think it's going to be an easier weekend. And obviously, as the game started and you started to play, I don't think they felt that they were dominating us at all. They definitely had a little bit of the shot advantage, but our guys, we played great. We competed hard. We defended when we needed to and got some timely goals.
Well, now, we heard it was all coaching. Right?
Who's the coach of North Dakota?
Bradbury.
Bradbury, I had him. He was my assistant coach in Columbus when I was there.
Well, yeah, great man in all my interactions with him. Brad's great.
I think, Craig, if you recall, Bradbury was on our show with us back when the draft was here.
Yes, years
ago. So he's a friend of the show, but we're happy to send him home with 2 points. And also, zero points in two games. Dane Jackson, a former Buffalo Sabre and Rochester American. I played with him my first couple years in pro. He's the assistant coach over there. So I'm sure he was coming in here hoping that he had some easy points. But, no, I'm glad you guys were able to pull those ones out. Now, how do you prepare for that? Like, do you prepare differently for these teams than you would against teams in your own conference? Or, I mean, you talked about our show the other day. You had heard we're having the discussion about setting lines and things like that. I mean, how did you approach these games, or did you just go about business normally?
Yeah, we had, I'd say from the coaching side of it, we're trying to keep everything the same. Like, you might make a tweak or two, but it's really on how we're playing in those moments. We knew we had Union the weekend before, so we had four non-league opponents that were going to be a big challenge. We were really concentrating on defense. It was something that we needed to get better at in terms of the statistics, and our guys responded really well with how we were playing. I think it's more so the players might have a little more energy, a little more up when you're playing a team like North Dakota. But in terms of coaches, we're trying to keep it calm and keep everything the same, because I think that helps you play, because our goal is to continue to get better every day.
Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Vey, joined right now in studio with Canisius Golden Griffins head coach Trevor Large, Canadian guy, if you can't tell. You don't drop the A in there, do you, when you're in the
locker? I think I've lost it.
Well, how many Canadians do you have on your team?
We don't really count. I'd say we have quite a few. Yeah, most years I'll put us down the middle somewhere, maybe half Canadian, half American. But it's not definitely something we don't keep track of too closely. But
and do you have like a lot of older players on your team? Like, I know that some teams, like freshmen come in, they're a little bit older. I mean, what age, like, do you have true freshmen? Like, how many young guys do you have on your team?
No true freshmen. I think those are very rare. If you look around the country in terms of college hockey, there's not many true freshmen that can do that. I'm thinking about guys, I think Corey Conacher may have been our last true freshman. I think he came in with Vinny Scarsella, same thing, I think was a true freshman at the time. For us, if it's a right player, if he's an elite player and the right person, I think we're always open, and every team would be. But typically 19, 20 is when guys are coming into college.
At what point in time do you guys start to try and identify and recruit your players? Like, you see, you know, obviously I have a son that plays at the 14U age group.
And is he ready?
He is nowhere near ready. It's a long process for 99% of them. But you're seeing a large, not a large majority, but there has to be 10 to 12 kids that have already committed at age 13, 14 years old. Like, at what point does Canisius start to identify and start looking at their players? Are they a little bit later?
I think we're always looking. Like, we're around, we're everywhere in North America along with everybody else in college hockey. You're watching guys in their last year of junior hockey for some. I think we're very lucky in Western New York to be able to watch a lot of young hockey players that are in our rink and others. They're a little bit easier. At least we know a lot about them because we can track them, and you know, you can talk to coaches and watch a guy when he's young and see how he plays a year later and see how he's playing a year later, and as they get into junior hockey, how are they doing? And we're very lucky in this area to have a lot of hockey. to be able to look at those guys specifically. It's our most important area that we recruit, and we're
you guys
fortunate.
Are kind of lucky because you're right in a hotbed. I mean, you have to, like, the junior Sabres, Riv, I mean, I'll pump the tires, but every team is, like, nationally ranked almost. Like, Buffalo's growing as a real hotbed for hockey, and but on top of, well, you were just about to chime
no,
in.
No, it's a nice central area in the sense that there's a lot of the top, you know, whether it's 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, we've got some of the top players coming to the Harbor Center to play against, you know, our junior Sabres teams, and it gives, obviously, an opportunity for a lot of these D1 recruiters to come and watch our kids.
Now, when you were a young guy growing up, you played Tier 2 Junior A, and you went on to play at Ferris State. Now, I mean, the numbers that you put up, OHL obviously was, obviously, I don't know if it was ever a dream of yours or a thought, but did you ever think about the OHL, and what do you tell kids? Because we both played in the Ontario League.
Yeah.
You played at Ferris State. And so, I mean, college, I think, was kind of second priority, definitely to me. I mean, I wanted to go to the OHL.
Right.
That was something I wanted to do. But I mean,
I think when you're in that environment too, though, I was very much in the same situation as you. You only really was guided to the OHL.
Yeah.
Now, I had back in the day some colleges, you know, sending letters and the whole shooting match, but it was never really reality. It was just the OHL. And now that I live here in the States, my reality is I would love to see my son, you know, play D1 hockey somewhere.
When you played in that league, even when I was playing in that league, there were some guys that were committed to colleges, but not a ton. And now more and more guys are choosing D1. But, I mean, what are you telling young kids, you know, about that? Like, you know, how do you advise a kid when you're recruiting?
Yeah, you know, when you think about, and everybody has their own experience, right? You as an Ontario guy, you're growing up in an OHL market. You guys lived it. You know what it's like as somebody from Ontario. You go province to province, and it changes, right? If you're WHL area, it's what you're around. It's what you see. It's what you hear. I know for myself growing up, college hockey was always my goal. It was something that I wanted to do. It was in, you know, a little bit of the household. My mom's a teacher, so you're kind of influenced in a very positive way to think about school and what you want to do after. But for me, I also didn't play my draft year. I shared that with you guys before For me, it was, you know, quitting hockey at age 15, 16 year old is, I don't think, a path for anybody.
Which I think is unbelievable that you quit hockey for a whole year and then you go and play in Brampton and dominated and then you go on to play at a very high level of college hockey. Yeah. So
very, awesome. Very lucky the fact that I'm, you know, in the game of hockey. And I think it was a great year for me to really understand how passionate I was about the game when you're not around it. Got very lucky. The fact that I went to and I was cut from junior team after junior team, but to sit there and go into a camp and have a coach go, hey, where'd you play last year? You know, how did you do statistically? And my answer was nowhere and zeros. It's something that I'll remember that you can earn it, right? You can go out and your play can showcase a lot in those scenarios. Cause it's hard. Amazing. It's hard for a kid to go to just try to showcase what their skills are.
Well, rejection at that age is hard, eh? Like,
but it is.
I got cut from Tier 2 team first time I tried out. I mean, like, I get it. It's hard on the ego. Riv was a dominant player, right? So he can't relate to us. He's having a tough time. But, no, I got cut too, and rejection's tough, like, when you keep going back. But, I mean, you're a glutton for punishment, man.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have to, but you know, I think what happens is I think we forget, like, kids get cut all the time. There's kids in every area you're trying out for different teams. I think it's good to have the experience to go through it to make you stronger in the back end and prove how much you love the game.
But I guess back to we don't have a ton of time here, and I want to talk about your schedule coming up here. But going back to it, I mean, like, do you ever – I mean, I don't know if Riv does, but I would have loved to have experienced, you know, college. Do you ever think, like, what it would have been like to have played junior, or do you just think, you know, D1 was the perfect fit?
I think it was a perfect fit. Like, you go through that experience, and you're around guys that I'm still very connected to. It's just, it's different. It's special. Our guys feel it now, the belief in our room and the things you go through when you're in college. It's a different age, right? You're 19 to 24-ish. Junior hockey, you're younger. So I think there's it's a definitely experience for me at Ferris that I absolutely loved, and our guys are feeling that right now as we're going through their college career.
Now, what do you have coming up?
We got Robert Morris this weekend. We're home for the next four, so it's an exciting time for us to climb. Our goal is to climb in the standings and continue to fight for some consistency in how we're playing. And that's what we're doing now is we're battling.
And these are two winnable games. I think Robert Moore is just ahead of you in the standings. So
right.
These are games that that you want to pick up in your building, that's for sure.
Goaltending solid for you guys, we hear?
Yeah, they've of late definitely had some really great performances. Both Blake Wyrick and Matt Ladd, who's new to our team. Matt's new to our team. I've had some special performances just after the Christmas break here, and they're doing the same thing. They want more consistency. Not a great weekend for us this weekend, but we're very pleased with how they're playing and excited for the future for both of them.
All right, that's Coach Trevor Large from the Canisius Golden Griffins. Go check them out this weekend. They play Robert Morris. As I had to mention one more time here, where is my sheet, River? There we go. Frozen Four is coming back. NCAA 2019 NCAA Men's Frozen Four is coming to KeyBank Center April 11th and 13th. Top college teams in the country compete for a national championship. Get your tickets now at NCAA.com/Frozen Four. Thanks again, Trevor, for coming to join us. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
We'll have you on again soon.
Please
All
do.
Right, we'll be right back, Instigators. We're going to have a little 5 minutes each for fighting coming up. A couple scraps in the NHL, and Riv and I will go over that. Hour number two coming up right after that, Instigators.
Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting! 5 minutes each for fighting!
Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em Robots there. Riv's head gets knocked off, as it would have back in the day, and I think probably still right now. I think I could still take you, old man.
Yeah, I'd probably say so, too.
I think I still have you. I skated yesterday. I wore your socks. I sent out a tweet. I was fishing for you, but I didn't find you. Anyway, a couple scraps yesterday in the NHL. Austin Watson and Michael Furlan, Riv's new favorite player, changes every week. Michael Furlan, Austin Watson, and... this is a good scrap. Two tough guys. Austin Watson's a tough guy in his own right, and you got Furland, who's a big, strong guy. As Riv's mentioned before, he's a gamer. And I have not seen this fight before intentionally. I saw the other one we're going to show, but ooh,
ooh.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you haven't seen this,
that
Furland,
one was right square on the dinger.
And you know what? That's Austin Watson's fault, too, because he was throwing some wild punches, and once he gets stood up straight like that, and you got Furland bent back, and he landed one right in the button. But that Furlan, you look at him, he just looks like a total gamer. He looks like a gamer.
You know what? I mean, it's interesting, you know, and everybody's gonna build different hockey teams.
God, I hate fighting. I hate this.
Yeah, I see how you would. But, this Furland, he's a nice hockey player. He can skate. He's fast. He's been able to have some success scoring goals. I think last year he was over 20. This year he's got 13. He's on pace for over 20 again. But he's a big, big, powerful, power forward that can skate, put the puck in the net. So he's got a little aggression to him, which, wouldn't be too bad in the Sabres lineup also.
The other fight featured two pretty tough guys, Michael Haley and Eric Gudbranson. I look at this, Gudbranson. Does he remind you of anybody? Does he remind you of old Uncle Andrew over here a little bit? I was 30 years old in Florida, and he was an 18-year-old kid, and he almost made the team as a third overall pick. And he ended up getting in a fight one night with, I can't remember who it was. It was in Montreal. He got in a scrap, and he got in there. He was really aggressive, and I said, hey, kid, come here. And next day of practice, I brought him over. I said, come here. I said, look, I fight every tough guy in the league. I said, let me show you something. I taught him. I said, look at your reach. I said, God gave you this reach. I said, I learned this the hard way after taking about four or five on the button one night really badly. I said, look it. I said, string a guy out, grab him right here, and use that 3.5 or 4 foot reach to just string a guy out and wind up that right hand. And you look at this big boy go. He looks like Uncle Andrew over here.
He's
a proud papa, man. Like, I wonder if he'd ever remember that. But I'll tell you what. The coach at the time was Pete DeBoer, and he calls me and he goes, hey, I love that you were working with the kid. He goes, that was pretty cool that you brought him aside. And I just felt, you know what? Like, listen, I just don't want to see the young pups get beat up. Next thing you know, I get sent down about a week later.
A young pup that went, what was he, fifth overall in the...
Numero tre. Third overall.
And it worked out for him.
What did?
His career. Third overall.
What do you mean?
I mean, he didn't live up to the expectations of a third overall pick, I would say.
That's not what we're talking about.
What I'm talking about. I'm just adding to your love for Gabranson, but the reality is, he's a solid defenseman. He's a big guy. He plays real solid defensive play, and, he certainly...
Wait a minute. No, I'm not even going to get into this defense, because we got to go to break, because we have the sports update coming up, hour number two, which is going to feature some Oilers-Sabres preview. Tonight's game at 9 o'clock, 8:30 game night on MSG with Marty and Duffer, and we'll talk what's going to make this a successful Western road trip for the Sabres, Western Canada road trip. We'll get into our buy-sell trade, and also joining us from the great land of Edmonton, Dan Dunleavy is going to join us over the phone, so he's awake and ready to rock and roll. We'll be right back. More Instigators coming up, WGR 550 and MSG.